to Spreading the Good Stuff, a podcast for regional women who want to thrive in their work, wellness, family and community. We share stories of triumph, challenge, growth and change in business and in life, and offer helpful insights and advice to empower you to live your best life, however that looks for you.
Hello and welcome back to Spreading the Good Stuff. I'm Katrina Myers.
I'm Christy O'Brien.
And I'm Leonie Canham. Hey, ladies.
Hi, we're all in person for this one. We haven't been in person for so long, so it's a little bit weird. We're hoping the sound's okay and everything today, but it's so lovely to all be in the one room. Isn't it nice?
Yes, lovely to see you in the flesh.
It's so nice.
I'm going to keep forgetting to not look at the computer to see your faces. I'm going to actually look at your vote.
Yes, you're right there beside the light. It's very weird. How strange that, like, when we first started, we would have done it all like this, and we wouldn't have even thought to record it, you know, via Zoom or Riverside or whatever we use now, and now that feels more natural. But anyway, thank goodness for technology.
Totally.
Because, I mean, some of our listeners might not know that I live over in Barham and the girls are both in Echuca, so it's very handy that we can record.
Definitely.
Virtually, but it's so nice to be in person. We're going to go for lunch afterwards.
Yay!
It's very special, so it feels very fun. But we wanted to just check in today and follow up with some thoughts on the Chasing Your Dreams episode. I was actually having a chat with my good friend Meg Durham, who most of you, well, some of you have probably heard of through us talking about her, but she was also mentioning the importance of support in chasing your dreams, and we thought it was really cool to just have a little bit of a chat about that and just to mention that because, you know, we all know and we've all got experience with that, and I think it really resonated. And as Meg said, it's so hard to pursue what you want to do in life without support. And the interesting point that she made, which I thought was really interesting, was she said, you know, when she was living really super remotely, she was living out at Collyamley on this, you know, middle of nowhere station with no support. But she said she knew that it wasn't that there was something wrong with her. It was situational. Because I think what can happen is when we feel like we're not coping and we're trying to do everything and look after the kids and do all the things and chase our own dreams and we're failing at it all, we think there's something wrong with me. I can't do everything, so there's something wrong with me. When in actual fact, it's just that we need to ask for help, or we need more support, or we can't be expected to do it all by ourselves. So I thought we've got some other really good topics to chat about today as well, but we might just have a little quick share on what each of our experiences with how important support has been, or did we have support, did we not have support, how is our support mechanisms now, and is that really important to all of us in, you know, pursuing our dreams or living a fulfilling life? What about you, Lee? What do you think?
When we were discussing this before we came on air, just in terms of how we do ask for support and the kind of support we've had in our lives, I took the time to think back and have a reflect on how I managed it, particularly in the early years when the kids were really young. And I was terrible at asking for help. I'm still no good at it.
Yeah, right.
I find it really hard. I don't know if it's how we were raised. And thinking back to my childhood on the farm, we were quite isolated from anyone else, and Mum and Dad did kind of do everything. We didn't have, like, my mum's parents were quite a way away. My dad's were around, but sort of not near us, but, you know, a drive away. I don't have a memory of them being, like, beautiful memories with grandparents, but not of us going and staying with them for the night or for holidays or anything like that. Mum worked a lot of night shifts, and Dad would farm all day, so one or the other was always there with us. And I feel like that, I look at both my brother and sister, and I would say we've all followed in their footsteps, and we've all, that's probably how we've run our family lives as well, whereas where we've always done it, we haven't had a lot of support along the way. And probably that's part of the reason why I went freelancing and got out of the media and politics, was because then I could I guess create a business and a life that allowed me to keep working and following my dreams, but in a way that when my husband wasn't at work or when he was at work, I could still manage both and vice versa. And I know that's not an option for everyone, and I was lucky that the skills and the kind of career path that I had followed allowed me to do it. But we've not probably had much. Our support has come through friends always.
Yeah.
Is it also fair to say that Craig's a good support? Like you guys
absolutely.
Have a good, because I think that's something that a lot of women lack, is a supportive partner.
Very true.
So
it was never a, you know, that the responsibility of the kids was mine. It was very much a shared. Mm. Even on the days when I, very early on, when I took a little bit of time off work when the kids were brand new babies and he would come home from work, the moment he stepped in the door, it was not sort of much, so much me putting my hands out with the child. He'd be here, you know, give me the baby. And he's still the same. Like, he's not the kind of bloke that this is your job, this is my job. He'll jump in and do whatever needs to be done. If it's cooking, if it's grocery shopping, if it's anything and everything, he's part of it. And I'm the same. We don't have kind of set male roles, female roles, anything like that. It's just we've made it work over the years. And there's times where we look and think, oh, a little bit of support along the way would have been great. But we have these conversations, you know, every now and again where we look and think, look what we've done. Like, look how far we've come. And we have such a close relationship with our kids and with each other. And, like, it's been possible, but that's because of, I guess, the way we've run our partnership.
But so I guess support looks different for everybody, doesn't it? So because you've had that, like, so it's not, you've had each other.
I'm glad you pointed that out because I hadn't considered that, that there's some people probably in a, whether it's a marriage or partnership situation, where they don't get that support from that person.
That's right.
So that's been key. There's no way I could have done this without him.
And I think that's the same for all of us. Like, we've often talked about, you know, that how important and valuable it is to have that supportive partner. I think that's been. So then I guess. I guess support looks different for all sorts of people, and it's different. And again, it's part of that seasons too. You know, different seasons you need more support changes, or less.
What about you, Chris? Feel that even if support is on offer, whether it be family or friends, women still feel a burden to people if they.
And that's very true for me.
So true.
And I think that I would definitely say that about you, Lee, because you're very independent and strong willed, and, you know, I've got this, you know.
Which isn't a great thing, but it's just a hard thing to kind of change or break down.
But I guess it's okay if it's not, almost. As long as your needs aren't being sacrificed, I think it's okay. Like, if you're feeling like you can cope with it.
I wouldn't ever describe myself as a mum or a person who's never had any life outside of my kids.
That's right, yes.
I've managed to be able to fit all the fun things in around it too, because I guess having Craig as the kind of partner that's willing to step in, so I could do all those things.
Yeah, and I know for me when our kids were little, I was really lucky because I had a sister and a sister-in-law who had kids at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we supported each other immensely. Mm-hmm. Even it was just like, can I just drop my child for an hour or whatever? Like, because we were in exactly the same spot at the same time. So even beyond family. And my parents have always traveled as well. So when they were around, they were great, but they were gone for 6 months every year, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So you kind of, if you rely on sort of one area of your life, particularly family life, and then it can disappear.
Mm.
But we were really lucky having kids at the same age because we were in the trenches together. So we supported each other.
Did you feel that there'd be less burden? Because I often think if my sister lived close, that would have been a very different situation. And our kids were the same age as well, but less of a burden asking family members sibling, to help than if it was a friend.
Yeah, well, because it was always reciprocal. But then, at the same time, my sister and I always had a nanny that we shared, and there was always less guilt when you could pay a babysitter or a nanny for your children than family.
Yeah,
always way less guilt. Mm. Do you ever remember that or recall that?
Oh, and
way less guilt.
Actually, in saying that too, that reminds me, I've forgotten. We did have babysitters, absolutely.
Yeah,
which is a different level of support, I suppose. But it's that's kind of gives you that chop out. But for me, there was always an emotion tied up with it was people you knew and family, and, you know, whereas if you just were paying someone, like, you stay out till 4 a.m. and never feel guilty. Because the teenage girls from around the corner would bloody love it, because I'd get $120 for a Saturday night because you'd be gone till all hours. But I was just thinking about another form of support in chasing your goals. And I know for me, my dream, as I said last week, has been to write a novel, and it's been a slow burn. And I've got this favourite cousin of mine. Well, I love all my cousins, but my cousin that I'm closest to, I told him ages ago that I'd written this first draft. And I've told a few other people as well. But every time I see him without fail, he goes, how's that novel going? Like, he just keeps me accountable.
Yes.
And that's his way of sort of helping me pursue that dream, just so I don't let it go. And he kind of, you know, well, what have you done? You know, like, where are you at? Which is really great. So sometimes with your dreams, whether the whole world knows what it is or just one person who knows what you're passionate about and what you want to do, it just keeps you on track, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that highlights the different types of support. You know, like, there's different, you have different friends for different purposes. You know, some friends are good old offload with, others are like, go deep down holes with, you know, or they're the ones that you can call on when you're feeling sick or whatever. Like, there's, and family members are saying, like, there's different levels of support and
horses for courses,
different people that provide that. I think for me, I'm quite good at asking for support. I'm like, I don't mind asking for it, but, like, you know, my mum would always just say no. was like, can you just have them? Like, I would ask her all the time. But she would always say no. And then, you know, you hear people who've got parents who are, like, desperate to have the kids and they won't let them have them. I'm like, oh, God. But every situation's different, you know. And that's what I was thinking when you were saying you felt less guilty paying someone. Like, I didn't feel guilty at all if mum had them, but she would never do it.
Yes.
So it's, you know, it always just comes back to your personal situation, how you feel about things as well. And mum did do it sometimes. She was actually quite good. Looking back now that she's not living, you know, really close, I realised she did. She was good. It was good just knowing she was there, you know, when we had little kids.
I think it's great, though, in some respects, having grandparents that aren't fully, like, devoted to children and have no life outside
of
their grandchildren, because that can be hard as well. That can be really, like, oh, you know. And it's great modelling, because I know for me, like, that's the sort of grandparent I want to be.
Yeah.
Live my own life but still love being with my grandkids. But, you know, I've got stuff to do.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly right. Yeah, we're the same. And I have that conversation with my kids all the time about my mum, that while she has travelled a lot and not always been close by, whenever she is, she's so engaged and involved with the kids. But the things that she's done over the years on her own, and now in her early 70s, she's just travelled up to, you know, the tip of Cape York at the moment. And, you know, she was saying she got, when they hit the top, and in this little motorhome that she's travelling with her girlfriend, who's also on her own, everyone up there was, you know, young people or mostly men. It was always the men doing the driving and the men setting things up, and then now drops these 2 7-year-old women.
It's awesome.
And I just think I would take that any day over her having been here and every day at my house and helping out with the kids. So
It's great role modeling. And my mum's the same. She's so independent. She just loves her horses. She does whatever she wants to do. And you think, that's actually great, but we're not role modeled that much in society, because we expect older women particularly just sort of sacrifice themselves.
Totally.
You know, so that they can help with the kids. And it's like, well, actually, no, it's good, because I'm sure all of us don't necessarily want to be giving up our lives to do that at that stage. So I think that's really nice. And it is, I've learnt to sort of, as much as I would have loved the help when, you know, when the kids were little, it's also like I can see that it's great that mum is so independent and she's been able to do what she wants to do and not sacrifice that. Like, that's actually really, really good.
It is.
So, I really agree.
And I suppose there's other things. If you look back and you say, oh, no, we did it without a lot of support, it's not true, because we use childcare. So we had that support, of course, when the kids were little. And I always had a house cleaner. Every fortnight I had a house cleaner from the time, I think, the first or maybe second was born. And I've continued to do that with maybe stints here and there where I didn't have one. But there's a couple of things where, like, it's paid help, but
absolutely,
we were working and that became a priority, so that we didn't want to spend then the whole weekend cleaning a house or.
Well, and so many people even feel guilty getting a cleaner.
Yeah, you know, I never felt guilt around that. I definitely would feel guilty in asking, because there wasn't a lot of family support, that I felt guilty in asking friends for help. I still find that really hard. Even when people offer it, I just feel like it's putting them out.
Mm. But I like the to and fro of that. Like, I find that, you know, you've got those friends where it's reciprocated and it's great. And you know, the more they ask me, the more I feel better asking them. So I try to remind myself of that. Like, it's okay to ask, because then they'll feel comfortable asking me and I'm happy to help. I love helping.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing to remind yourself of. If you feel bad asking for help, put it back and say, but hang on, you love giving help.
Yes.
And so there's a whole thing around that. Like, you can only give as much as you can be prepared to receive.
Yes.
So I think it's good to remind yourself of that. If you're feeling like, oh gosh, I can't ask for support, it's like, but hang on, I bet you actually love helping other people. Yeah. And actually, you're taking that gift away from someone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brené Brown talks about that.
Yes.
You know, it's a gift to be able to help someone.
I believe that wholeheartedly, but it's just still lots of retrain something that's so deeply ingrained.
Oh, absolutely.
But even volunteering in the community, like, you know, there's lots of evidence to say that you get more out of it than the person you're helping. And I think, too, when you're in the trenches and you're trying to chase your dreams, it's really important to remember that the stage you're in right now, like, won't last forever as well. Mm. Like, you think it's never going to end. And I don't know, even when I had family support and friends having babies at the same time, you know, there are days that are long. You know, you just think, oh, my God, like, you know, what do they say? The days are long and the years are short, or
something like that. Yeah.
But I would often think about my mum when she had me and my sister, like, we're 11 months apart, and she was living in Arnhem Land on an Indigenous community with zero support. I mean, nothing and no one. And they weren't there forever for obvious reasons because it was tough. But I would often think if she can get through that without, you know, hands-on support, and Dad was amazing, you know, like I can get through anything. So it's good to kind of, you know, have that role model or someone who's going through something similar to kind of go, you know what, I'll get through this even if it's hard.
Yes, but then so that's that sort of the double edge of the, you know, the sides of the coin or whatever, isn't it? Because sometimes that sort of stoicness and that I can get through and I can do anything is what actually stops you from asking for support. So it's that, I think that's the balance of that is knowing when it's okay to ask for support and when, you know, like when you need to. Yeah, that's right. And don't be afraid to do it, you know, and look at your situation. And
which often you don't know until you get through it and you go, whew. That was
so true. So true. So, yeah. So basically, I think the synopsis of that is that support is super important and it's okay to ask for it. And
whatever that looks like for you.
Yes, exactly. Whatever that looks like for you. And if you struggle with asking for support, get curious as to why that is. And if you feel like you need it, if again, if you're coping and everything's fine, then great. Happy days. But if you're in resentment, if you're feeling like your needs aren't being met, if you're feeling like you're absolutely exhausted.
And you're unhappy.
And you're unhappy. And you'll know that. You'll know that. That's right.
Then if you can't ask for support, get curious as to why, because it sounds like you probably need it and, like, what is it in your situation? And then, like Meg's situation, is it just situational, you know, and do you need to think about or do you need to change it? Do you need to get serious about where you are and what's happening in your life and, like, is that really for you? And that's that's hard but so, so important. So the other thing that we wanted to talk about today was I shared with the girls and we thought it's a really good topic to talk about. I guess it's it's kind of around the art of saying no to things, and it's like it's this conversation around, like, at what cost are we saying yes to things? So this came up for me on the weekend because we've been obviously we've had a really flat out sporting season and we do footy every Saturday and we're traveling quite a long way for that a lot of the time, and then Chester also decided to do rugby this year, and from the start I was like, this is ridiculous, I don't think we should do it because our home games are at Hay and, you know, the games are at like Tamora, Albury, Leeton. So the closest game is at least 2 hours away and then, you know, three and four for the rest. Anyway, it came down to it this weekend. It's the last game and Tim was meant to take him, but then, you know, he couldn't end up going, so he had to work and all this kind of stuff. So I just said, look, I don't think we should go. I'm not going to go. And he could have gone with some friends, but I said, look, I just thought about it. And I thought, no, if I go, then it's the other kids are at home all by themselves for that day because Tim will be out working. Then we're all exhausted. We could stay overnight. We all get so tired. Chester's been pretty feral lately. So I was like, I think we just need to say no. And I felt guilty. Like, I felt really guilty. And for a couple of days afterwards, I was like toing and froing in my mind about, oh, I'm a bad mom and I should have taken him. It was the last game. And I kept reminding myself, no, you know why you said no. You knew that you'd be exhausted. It wipes everyone out for the rest of the week. We're so busy at home at the moment with Harvest. It's too much pressure on the family. Anyway, I said to Tim this morning, I said, Chester has been a different kid this week. He has been so much happier. He's getting up earlier. And it's like, and I feel great because I didn't, you know, it was a week before my period too, so I knew I'd be wiped out. But I feel so much better. And it just made, it's just that reminder and to share with the kids too. And I said to Chester, mate, look how much happier you are. Even though he was disappointed, but not super disappointed, because I know, I think he was exhausted too.
And if you had left it up to him, he probably wanted to go.
He would have, yeah, absolutely. And he would have, that's right. But it was that, it's just that reminder that, and it got us thinking about, and I was chatting with Lee about it, so I'm interested to hear what you guys think too around this, because it is so hard to say no to those things when your kids really want to do it. And the mother guilt that came up for me to notice that of like, you know.
Which is a default position a lot of the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. But it's so important sometimes, isn't it, to be able to say we can't do it all. And you've got to think about the cost of it and then notice when you say no, the benefits. Like, how are you guys feeling with all this at the moment?
And you deserve a massive pat on your back in those moments where you do that and, you know, you grapple with it and then you see what the benefit has been. Because if you had have done it, there would have been a cost and you knew it.
Yep.
And you listened to that.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, so that's hard. But it's so worth celebrating because you actually did it and it is hard to do. And I feel like we're, definitely on the same planet with that stuff at the minute because it has been, and maybe again it's situational, it's a stage of life when the age of the kids are at because
end of the footy, like
Season. And there's a real crossover with other sports and things happening as well. But it has this term, I feel like the previous term as well, probably just through that whole football season, has been so, so hectic. And I had a moment last week when I was gazing out the window working in the office where I just had this that just popped into my mind where I just thought, I just wish we could go into some kind of lockdown. I know we were speaking about this before when I told the girls that I had this thought and this feeling, and we have to be really careful in how we say that. And yes, we laugh, but
and
we
I fell off the freaking couch.
Because some people do have PTSD from the trauma of being PTSD. Locked down, for yes, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm not saying it lightly and without care for those people. It was just a moment of not breaking point, but just that
stop.
I just wanted to stop.
I just, there was no way out of it. Like I was working and my mind was racing ahead to what there was to get through that next night and then the next night and then the next night. And I think because at this time of year as well, you've got the sports stuff that's starting to finish up, but then they throw in the breakups for this team and for that team, and then your presentation nights, and then
Calendar. I don't know about you, but like my spring calendar is already chock-a-block.
Oh yeah,
but there's extra trainings and there's
so much.
You know, if you're involved and in different roles in volunteer sort of capacity as well, which both Craig and I are, in coaching and team managers and that stuff, it throws more kind of onto it. And I just had that moment of, oh God, I just want a night at home or a weekend. Mm. Like the weekends are crazy. And this business of Sunday's rest day, like there's no such thing as Sunday rest day. It's all junior sport is all day Sunday.
Maybe we'll bring back church and then we all have to have Sunday off.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
I am definitely here for that. Yeah.
I just remember that feeling a couple of times when they announced that, okay, everything's stopping and we're going into lockdown, and I'm even back, you know, in the middle of the pandemic at times, almost feeling grateful that someone was telling us to stop and that everything had to stop.
You have permission to do zero.
That's right. But then this is what we're saying right now, is that power still sits with us.
I was just going to say, you actually do have the choice. Exactly. And it's ridiculous that we get to the point where we need a lockdown or we want to be sick for a day. Like I was interviewing someone recently who said that she was like, oh, someone broke into her house. She was like, oh, so relieved I didn't have to go to work the next day. And she was like, she had this epiphany of like, oh my God, someone had to break into my house for me to go. Yeah.
Or you have to get sick to bloody slow down.
Yes, so we have to break that cycle, don't we, and say, hang on, we actually do have the power in any moment to stop.
Because I feel like I'd put steps in place with work to pull that back when things were getting out of control. But this isn't a work related thing. This is like
everything else is a runaway train
around it.
And it's so hard with kids stuff. Like you were saying,
to say no if they love it. And the other thing that I grapple with is knowing that if they're not out and playing sport and, you know, being really active, then that technology has a pull, such a strong pull for them. So on the night, we had a night this week with maybe there was stuff on, but not much on, or two of the kids were home and one was out. And straight away, that's what they're going for, like an iPad or something like that. And I then thought, well, I'm either going to be running kids around to a million different sports and out all night, or I'm going to be at home saying, get off your bloody iPad. Like, and I was a bit like, I actually prefer to see them out running around with their mates and being really active than having that battle at home with. So that's a tricky
thing. We still need rest though, don't we?
We need rest.
We need rest without the pull of technology.
That's it.
Black hole tourism, they call it, where you go to a black hole where there's no internet.
Mm.
Like even when we were traveling recently, we were at this place where there was literally no service.
That can be our place if we just turn off everything. We have no service.
No, but this weekend we've got nothing on. We're in between, a couple of footy teams have finished up. One's in grand final, so they've got this weekend.
I know what you're going to say, but you're going to have a mutiny if you do that.
Unplug the Wi-Fi.
I think we did that once. We went to the Grampians for the weekend. When our kids were about your kids' age, and we said, right, we're going to have a technology-free weekend. And everyone went, a what? Anyway, so we got there and we lied and told the kids there was no Wi-Fi in the house. That was before they had data. So we had a whole weekend when they could only use our personal hotspot or at the place where we went for dinner or lunch. They could just tap into that. And it was bloody amazing. They still talk about it to this day.
Oh, so there you go.
But the issue with the zero like data is that, like, I agree, you can get off your phones. But when we were trying to travel recently, we couldn't even get onto the maps.
Oh,
yes. So we were lost without any technology, and it was we tried to go and get a map at a tourist information centre. They only sold us
digital downloads.
Well, no, it was all paper map, but because it got lost in translation, they gave it this map with like rail trails and stuff on it, like bike trails and walking trails. It was so we're literally driving by feel.
Oh, like, but there's something so cool about that. Really, I love that.
And even the kids are like, oh, there's no Wi-Fi here, really. It's really weak. And we went, okay, so we played cards for 4 days.
Yes.
Yeah. And we could only get, like, we get a radio signal to listen to the cricket, and it was the best 4 days we had in forever. Oh.
But so I totally get that, Lee. It is that's that paradox as well. It's that thing that, yeah. But also, sometimes it's okay for them. Maybe it's okay just to sit and play the iPad for one afternoon if it's the only afternoon off.
Because it's fine watching television. Right. Like, we watch hours of television.
Yes. Oh, that's true. And that's, I know, like you were saying with Chester, what a difference it made to him.
Just rest.
And that's the thing, like, our kids, if they love their sport and they love being active, they don't know that they need the rest. But
everyone needs rest.
And I'm talking to lots of different women and mothers that have got kids a similar age to us, everyone's feeling it at the moment. Like, it's just a shared
grief.
Almost. It's not a burnout. It's not that at all. It's just a knowing that we're pushing too hard, and there has to be a way to have some more downtime. Like, we're at the time where you can just, I can't think of the last time on a weekend morning we got to just chill and read a newspaper in the morning.
I think you have to build it in too. I think you have to build it in. And when you were just talking before, I wanted to go back to that point you made about where you were in your cycle. And I've banged on before about the period queen on this podcast and the seasons within a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're all different, and, you know, some people might not even have a cycle anymore, but you still have to build in like rest around your weeks. And I know for me, like, you know, because you were obviously in your take week, which is the week leading into your period where you need to just stop and take some time.
Yes. Exactly.
For me, that's always the week where I have a bath. You know, I'd love to have a bath once a week, but I generally only do it once a month in that week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll sleep in if I have to. I'll just go bugger and I'm just going to stay in bed and sleep in even if I don't sleep. And then, of course, you have that dream week. And I'll put the link to this in the show notes because there's a podcast based around these four seasons. Good. It's amazing. And it changed my life when I read it. I
still got your book and I'm rereading it at the moment. So it's on my bedside table.
And look, you can't, like, I sometimes look at my schedule because I have it on my calendar, like, dream week is period week, and then you've got your do week afterwards where you just want to get shit done. Then you have the give week after that, whereas you feel really generous and you want to have all the people around for lunch.
Yes.
And then you have the take week where you go, I don't want to fucking see anyone this week. Yes. You know, like, so we used to laugh that we had, like, social bipolar, didn't we, Lee?
Yeah.
And we go, I go from being, like, wanting to be everyone, and then go, I don't want to see anyone. I didn't want to answer the front door to the postie, you know. So you can kind of map things and go and know that you're going to get to that point. You go, there's no way we're going to do that. You know, like, or we just need to, and even if it's just in my mind, I make just personal independent decisions for myself.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be a better mother or, you know, 100%. Housekeeper or whatever that following week, because you just have to, you have to look after yourself. Otherwise you get to that point where everything's just too hard.
Yes. And so this morning, perfect example, I was meant to do a HIIT class this morning at the gym, but I've got my period today, first day of my period. So I thought, no, I'm going to stay home and do yoga. Like, I still got up early, but I did yoga instead and I feel great. And I know that if I'd gone and done that HIIT class, it would have wiped me out. And so, but it's still really hard. Like, so even though you know this stuff, to make the choice to stay home on Saturday and not go to Albury and then to do the yoga class. Like, I really wanted to go to the HIIT class this morning. I was like, because I'm so, you know, I love that class.
But your body needs rest.
And listen to my body.
Regular rest.
And then you can actually, it's again, it's that sort of, you know, go backwards to go forwards, because actually then now I'm here and I feel great. And,
it doesn't make you lazy either. I think women again, as well as feeling, you know, a burden to people for accepting support, it's like, we are not lazy if we rest.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
it's like, lazy is the devil, isn't it? Like, the worst thing you could possibly be is lazy.
Whereas if we don't rest, well, the alternative is we're, like, not nice people to be around.
Exactly. Elise Nolan talks about, Lola Lonan talks about that in her book about, because she goes through the seven guilty sins, or the seven deadly sins.
I haven't read that. You've spoken about this before.
Yeah, and one of the ones is, you know, sloth, feeling lazy is like, gosh, it's terrible to be. You know, and so the thing that I was thinking about there too is we have to normalize this and role model it for our children.
Totally.
You know, and I still struggle really hard to sit still, you know, like at home, I'm thinking, well, this is what the kids are seeing, me busy all the time. I need to be really aware of that. And then also having that conversation with them, this is something Meg reminded me of as well, is so this weekend I'm meant to be going down to Melbourne to go to a retreat thing, which would be so lovely, but it's too much pressure on the family again because Tim's so busy and he's working all weekend and same sort of thing. The kids have to be by themselves. And she said, well, tell the kids that. Say to them, you know, I really want to go to this thing. I love it. I really want to go. And I've chosen that I have to stay home and I can't do everything and this is why. And just, you know, use it as a learning and a teaching experience for the kids.
And to help them understand it's not just about you or yes, them. Like that's, exactly. Yeah, we have the same. The kid, our kids wanted to play in a mixed, like, spring netball comp, and they already do, you know, footy and basketball and rep sport as well, and then tennis is starting up soon. And they came home with it, and they'd been invited into these teams, and I just said, no, it just can't happen. And they're like, but why not? We don't have anything on a Wednesday. Well, not at the moment.
Excellent. Let's keep it that way.
We do have something on a Wednesday, but it's stopping when football starts for 1 week before tennis starts up again or whatever it might be. But, you know, they felt hardly done by because their friends are playing in the spring comp and they're not. And we had that conversation that it's not – you have to understand it's not just about you playing that one sport. It means that – whether it's me doing it or it's dad doing it, it's we've got to finish work early to get there, to get you to this spot. There's a cost involved in everything that you do as well.
Money and emotional.
We've got to be there with you and then we'll go back, pick you up. It's just every now and again we've got to be able to say no to these things. Totally. And I know that sometimes you feel left out because your friends are all doing it, but
that's okay.
You will actually love it as well. And so this week on Wednesday was the first night of it starting up and they were so bloody happy doing that. They weren't doing it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's having that full, sorry, Katrina,
no, you go.
Having that full family awareness of where everyone's at as well. Mm. And when you're tired, like even this morning I had a conversation with Troy and I always try and do my 10 minutes meditation in the morning with some breathing and then try and do 20 minutes in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I just lie down sometimes if I'm really tired or just sit up and just 22 minutes, bang. And once the bell goes, that's it. And sometimes I fall asleep as the bell is as goes because if I'm tired, I'll tend to fall asleep. And he was really tired and I go, why don't you just do your 20 minutes? He goes, oh, you know, I go, you can come home for lunch and have a lunch and then just lie down 20 minutes because you will feel amazing. Like they say 20 minutes of meditation is like 4 hours of sleep or something.
Exactly.
And even within our family, like Troy's quite intuitive now, even with the girls, and our youngest is quite, you know, open with her emotion and where she's at, which is great. And he'll just know when it's her time of the month where she just got to go into the cave, you know, like the rest of the time he'll be like, come on, like, let's do this and whatever. But he just has this awareness now, oh, right, she's on a period, so I'll just let her be in her cave for a day.
Yeah.
Can't do it for a week.
Yeah.
You know, like if she happens to be home or whatever. And, you know, it's great to have that awareness because then everyone in the family knows where everyone's at. And it's that emotional awareness, which is so important.
Yes. And to the point, I think you talked about this before we came on air, Lee. It's role modeling for other women as well.
And men.
And talking about it. And men. And saying it's okay to say no to things. Mm. And the more we all, again, it's the same as like asking for support. If we normalize it for each other, then it's like it gives us all permission to do it.
Yeah. You know? And even for guys, like if you were bleeding once a month, you want to have fucking rest as well. Yeah. Like honestly, sometimes I think there's this like, oh, she's got a period. Well, but if you had it, you might feel the same.
But also they still need a rest just because they're not getting their period.
Exactly.
You know, like they don't have to be getting a period once a month. Like men should have a rest too. And I said that to Tim because he's working so hard at the moment. It's like, how about next week? You take a day off and we go for lunch and just get off the farm.
Yeah.
You know, you just need a day off.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, okay, good.
And taking that time. Like even when Troy started playing golf, it was like it was almost a secret. He didn't want to confess that he was having like an hour and a half off on a Friday afternoon to play golf. I'm like, shout it out to the world.
This is amazing. Yeah,
you know, and if I want to come home and say, oh, he's at golf, I'm like, that's so good. Because
now he's doing something for him.
For a lot of guys, it is really hard for them to take that time.
Oh, it's just as hard for them. Totally. Especially farmers. Yeah. Farmers, they've got, you know, what does Meg say? Nothing gets the farmer off the couch as quick as a car coming down the drive.
That is so true.
Isn't it? It's so true.
That's like men hilarious. Doing that.
Like, they, God forbid, you'd be sitting around, you know, at lunchtime or, you know.
Having a 20-minute lie down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Tim's actually good at that. He does love the afternoon snooze. He'll quite often do that. So important. But, yeah, it's just as hard for them. So very important for everybody to think about at what cost is all of this saying yes and keeping ourselves so busy. And
So what are we going to do then individually to, you know, help ourselves?
I'm already doing it. I've did yoga this morning. I said no to Aubrey. I'm not going to Melbourne on the weekend. I am living it.
We're about to go out for a lovely lunch.
Yeah, we're going out for lunch. I'm taking the day off today. It's all
what about you, Lee, other than saying no to netball for the boys? What else are you going to do?
It's something I'm going to keep struggling with, I think, because they want to be involved in a lot of stuff. And I also remind myself, I know it's not forever.
That's true.
That this is a very short season.
But I was more thinking about you, like what are you going to do for you?
I don't think it's that. I don't think I miss out in that sense. I think I work from home, so I have 5 days a week where I'm, you know, in my beautiful quiet space with my essential oils burning and I'm working, doing a job that I love. So there's not.
And you're still doing the things that you need.
I'm still doing the things I need. Right. I think it's just I have that question of why we run so hard,
like, and do
with kids every night, and, you know, it's it's interesting, but it's, yeah, we're all in the same boat. I don't know anyone that's with kids the age ours are at that's sitting at home.
And then that and then makes me laugh.
Because I don't actually know anyone.
Yeah. And that makes me laugh because why are we all doing it then?
I don't know. What's kind of doing it.
You know, and sometimes it only takes one to say, well, we're not going to do this. And there's a bit of a, you know,
exactly.
A bit of a domino effect.
But I also, I have a problem where I'll, if we do, I know we've got this whole weekend with nothing and I'm already sitting here thinking,
like you just said come to the Weimar tonight
and I'm like,
ooh. Only has to be for an hour.
You say no and then it opens up the option to say yes to something
else. But if you didn't have that space, you wouldn't even have the potential to consider it.
Exactly. So true. Exactly. Do you need to take any time? Or you're pretty good at that, aren't you? Yeah, exactly. It's great.
I'm pretty good at taking time. But then sometimes I go, I've got, like, you know, all this time and I'm probably not utilising as much as I should.
Yeah, but what a nice space.
And you've got older kids. You're in that next season, you know, where the kids are a bit older and they're away at school.
Yeah, and I'm not as home as much because I'm in Melbourne or I'm chasing them around. So when I do have my days, I'm like, right, I'm just going to go for that walk. I went for a walk yesterday. It was going to be for half an hour. I was gone for an hour and a half.
You feel like you're not looking at the clock as much.
Didn't even have my phone.
Whereas I feel like I'm still very much, okay, I've got a window there to go in.
Yep. Because I didn't even have
that's going to make me feel good, but I can only do it for that amount of time.
Totally. Still better than not doing it.
But it's better than not doing it.
But I took off yesterday to go for a walk. It didn't happen on my phone. The tiger was at home and I said, I'm just going for a quick walk for half an hour. And then I was gone for almost 2 hours.
So good.
But I actually didn't feel like, oh, shit, someone's going to need me.
No one's sent out a search party.
No, exactly. And it was almost dark. And I'm like, but it was so good because I just got lost in chatting with people. And because it was felt like spring here in Echukamama, which it does today as well. And that scenic drive was chock-a-block with people. Like normally it's just Harry and I and a couple of kangaroos. There was people everywhere because of the weather.
I love spring. Speaking of what we're loving.
I know.
Yeah. We better move on to what we're loving because I'm hungry and we need to go for lunch.
Absolutely.
So, well, I'm loving the fact that we can actually go out for lunch and we're together in the same room. And Katrina bought me a box of avocados.
Yay. Oh.
So that's kind of what I'm loving. It was something else I was going to say, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah, you have heaps of things. Oh, your winter festival.
Oh, yes. I went over to Dalesford with my cousin Trav to see the Winter Sounds, which is sort of it is the sister event of our Riverboats Festival here. And it was just so great to get out of town. And Trav hadn't been to Dalesford, so I sort of showed him the ropes and we stayed in the Dalesford Hotel, the pub, and it was just
so good.
Really cool. Saw all our favourite artists, got the little old steam train out to little place sort of on the way past Passing Cloud Winery. What was it? Ballado. So there's a steam train that runs once a month now. It goes really slow and rickety, like over the hills and through the valleys. Got the train out there, festival, beers and pizza and then back again. And it was just, it was really special.
Oh,
great.
Oh, that sounds
and I had one of those moments on Saturday because our son played another senior game for Echuca, which he's sort of been in and out this year with the footy. And he played with his cousin who we hadn't played with before and it was sort of his second game as well. And I really wanted to stay. I had that mother guilt. I'm like, but I'd already made plans to be in Dalesford by a certain time and I had to just go, you know what, like he didn't mind that I wasn't going to be there and everyone else was going to be there, but I kind of went, no, I'm going to choose this instead of doing what I felt kind of like guilty that I should have done. So, yeah.
Well, great. You're talking the talk as well.
Doesn't happen all the time. What about you girls? What are you loving?
You want to go, Lee?
Mine's an obscure one.
Yeah.
I'm loving this bloke who is a hypnotist from Queensland, Sunshine Coast. My sister put me onto him. I don't know if anyone's ever done or been hypnotised before.
Intrigued, though.
But we had a session, so I had with my eldest son a week or so ago now, who has been cracking his fingers non-stop, all fingers just been, anytime you look at him, that's what he's doing. He's been doing it for 3 or 4 months. So we had this one session. It went for an hour and a half. And I did it. I lay on it. It was a Zoom call, so he was in his room, just laying on his bed and kind of FaceTimed, and I was just laying on the floor beside, so I did it as well, but it was very much directed to him. One session, hour and a half, and has not done it since.
Wow.
Not once.
Oh,
and has not
heard that.
So we were booked in for 2 sessions, but we didn't need the second session because he hasn't done it since.
That's
so we had
amazing.
A little quick FaceTime with him last night, and he said, how are you feeling? You know, have you done it again? Or I just want you to answer really quickly, do you think you're going to crack your fingers again? And he just, like, quick as anything, no. So, well, you're done. We don't need to do this again.
Wow, that's incredible.
I just love that stuff. Like how – we have asked him to stop doing it a million
times.
And
I'm sure he wanted to stop.
And he wanted to stop and he couldn't stop. He didn't even know he was doing it. And in
just became a habit.
Session of being hypnotized.
Amazing.
Done. I know. And he feels amazing. Mm. So not only did he take that away from him, he also put a whole lot of things into him. So as part of it, he was saying, well, you know, we're going to take this away, but we can also add some things in. You know, would you like a bit more confidence? Would you like a bit more self-esteem? Would you like a bit more, like all the good stuff? Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It just not something that we've ever done before, not something that we considered doing, but we were open to it. He was open to it, and what an amazing result. So I think I've already got 3 or 4 people that
I was going to say, we'll have to put the link in the show notes. I mean, it's something I said to Lee when we were talking about it a while ago. It's something you've always heard of, and I've had friends who've done it to give up smoking and stuff, but I always put it in a bit of a woo-woo category, I suppose, even though I didn't not believe in it, but to actually hear about it used in such a practical, kind of simple
And for me, it just sense. Felt like, because I was laying in the room, it felt like a really deep meditation.
Yes, yeah. Can't hurt, can it?
No.
I've done it. I've been hypnotized a couple of times. I absolutely love it. And I actually thought about teaching. Like, I enrolled to go and learn how to do it.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. Because anything that works for me, I'm like, I need to teach everybody.
I need to do this one too.
Oh, God. But so that just reminded me of something else that I'm loving as well, which is also, I think, valuable to share. I've been doing this work with KJ Smith, who you probably know. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So I've had a couple of sessions with her. Yeah. So she does the tapping, but like, she is so good. She's
amazing.
Oh my God. So she's like an intuitive
coach. So where is she?
Coach. So she works with, the Owners Collective through Chapman.
Ah.
I forgot to talk to you about this.
Ah.
So this is a good one to share because, it's kind of practical that other people could go and do. And she's been amazing. And so what I found is because I did the Path to Love retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And then since that, just all this resistance. Like, and I can't get back in my body. I'm really in my head and I'm really struggling. It's like, it's that protection thing is still there of like not wanting to get back in my body fully. Like, I really struggle.
Wow.
But she just got me back in there. She brought back all that experience that I had at the retreat.
Obviously not face-to-face either. You've done this over Zoom.
And just got me to remember to be back in my body and, that's what I needed. And then, and I just, like, my meditations have been so much better after the session with her, and she just did all this tapping
She's
work.
Divine,
and,
oh my
God, it was so good. She's so good. She's so good. Just love it. I can't wait for another session. She's gone away. And I'm like, I want another session. I'm just going to get one a month. I just need to do it. And just.
Well, it sounds like it's something that you do for maintenance as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
That's so cool.
So many golden nuggets. What a great chat.
Oh, so
you can't keep these things to yourself.
No. That's it.
Great results with it.
Exactly.
It's all about spreading the good stuff. Thank you, ladies. Lovely to be here in person.
Let's go get some food.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you in a fortnight.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Spreading the Good Stuff. It is so lovely to have your company here. If you enjoyed the show, we would absolutely love it if you hit the little arrow at the top of the podcast iTunes page there, or like it on Spotify, and also give us a rating. 5 would be fabulous. If it's not a 5 for you, then maybe just don't bother. That's okay. But if it is, we would love for you to help us spread the good stuff more by supporting us, and also tell your friends about it. We all know that word of mouth is the best way to learn about new things. Maybe share it on your socials, do a little screenshot of the podcast tile, whatever works for you, but we would just absolutely love it if you would help us spread the good stuff. Thanks, guys.